Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson. Today, I have a very excited Karen Patterson from Trigg Mining. She's the Managing Director of Trigg Mining. The ASX code is TMG. Now, they've just put out an announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I want you all to sit up and take some notice because it's actually really, really big news. Karen Patterson, great to see you. Welcome to Small Caps. Today, you've just put out an announcement with an outstanding, and I mean outstanding, maiden inferred resource for your Lake Throssell Sulphate of Potash project. Before we get into that, just for those that may not know who Trigg Mining is, can you just give us a one-minute summary? Who is Trigg Mining and why it's so exciting at the moment?
Absolutely. Trigg Mining, well, we listed on the ASX 18 months ago. Our purpose is to build mines communities can be proud of. And in doing that, we're exploring for sulphate of potash. So that's a really different approach to mining. We're looking for minerals in water, and it's all about global food security and supporting our agricultural sector and increasing its sustainability. So it's how mining for farmers, essentially. Hashtag mining for farmers.
Hashtag mining for farmers. And when you say that minerals in water, this is not drinkable water. This is water that can't be used for crops and agriculture and all the rest of it. It is very briny, very salty. Is that correct?
It's incredibly salty. It's many times saltier than seawater. It is super saturated, in fact, with the minerals that we're looking for.
Great. Okay, so Trigg Mining, you've just put out this announcement about your outstanding, why is it outstanding, maiden inferred resource. So let's talk about that and why, because I can tell just by looking at you over the camera that these results have, I don't think they've taken you by surprise, but you're pretty chuffed.
Yeah, it really has confirmed our hypothesis that Lake Throssell is going to be a sulphate of potash project. It has confirmed everything that we thought there around grade and scale and pumpability, because that's incredibly important as well. You know, everything.
Why is pumpability important?
Well, it's about how we're going to get the water out of the ground. It's the drainable component. We can always talk about what's sitting there in the ground, but the way we produce from these types of aquifers is pumping. So it's about the drainable component that's most critical to determining whether or not we've got a project there.
So let's talk some numbers. So in terms of extracting this from the ground, it's a simple process, because you're a mining engineer by background, so you're all about the process, and that's what I like about this company, because you're putting a solid foundation in, you're all about the process and taking it forward step by step rather than all over the place. Talk about the process and what needs to happen for you to get this to the next stage.
The next stage for us, we have an inferred resource right now, which is really robust. The next step is to do some pump testing to confirm our assumptions there that we're based on good data and good analysis, but we just need to get that empirical data in the field. So the pump testing will happen quite soon, actually, with trenches and test pits right across the lake surface. We've got about 200 square kilometres of lake surface there.
Wow.
So we've got, it's a really big project. The entire tenement that we're talking about there is over 300 square kilometres, and it's pretty much all endowed with minerals. And then we've got this strike extension as well. So there's an upside further to this inferred resource that we've announced.
Let's talk about the inferred resource. How big is it? And what you just said, that it's open on your tenement for north and south. So this is what, just the central part?
Yes, this is the central part, the main part. So we have identified some 14.2 million tonnes of sulphate of potash equivalent. And that... at a grade of just over 10 kilograms per cubic metre. So what that means is that is a project of scale, and it's got really good grade as well. And what we've also identified with our resource is just how consistent it is throughout. It has, in fact, that's what surprised us, is the incredible consistency. We're all used to mining with variability and doing variograms and things when we come to doing the resource modelling. But what this has shown us is that pretty much everywhere we go within, especially in the basal aquifer that sits in the Paleo Valley under the Salt Lake, it is really consistent. and has really great chemistry as well, which really lends itself to producing sulfate of potash using solar evaporation.
Oh, tell me about that. Solar, is this coming into the sort of the sustainability of trig mining? Because one of the things that you've mentioned in the past is that you want to make trig mining very much a sustainable company. So just explain that to us.
Yeah, it is. It's a project that really did surprise me when I first came across minerals in brine as a potential economic deposit, is that it's still active. It's still depositing the minerals in the process. So it's still draining the systems, bringing minerals in, and the evaporation rate is, so when we come to pump it, we're really only harvesting from the resource. We'll never interrupt that depositional environment so that it can always replenish over time. Then the other aspect to it, the way we produce it, there's no open pit, there's no big rock waste dump, there's no crushing and grinding because the minerals are already there dissolved in the water. So we can pump the water out of the ground and use the natural endowment of the really high evaporation rate that we have where our projects are, a couple of hundred kilometres east of Laverton on the edge of the Gibson Desert. Yeah. That, so we can, you know, harvest the natural energy of the environment to do that. So the wind and the solar will evaporate that water quite rapidly, and we can produce the minerals quite naturally, really. There is a potential to even have it certified organic for use in organic mining. Organic agricultural applications.
Really? So this can be used across the organic as well. That's how clean and clear it is.
Yeah, it's mostly a simple process to produce it generally. So, you know, we haven't gone down that path yet to work out what our product will look like, but I do understand that that's a potential that we can explore.
There are other companies, you know, you're not unique, although this is very exciting. I know the grade has got you very excited, and the size and the scale of this deposit is also very exciting. But there are others out there. So what's the competitive advantage of Trig versus some of your peers?
Our key competitive advantage is our access to infrastructure. So we sit right on the Great Central Road, which is currently being bitumised and to be built into another highway right across the country called the Outback Highway. Oh. So that'll join Laverton in Western Australia to Winston in Queensland and create new opportunities for us to access different markets. We also have a railhead down the road at Leonora, can put it onto rail, ship it out of places like Esperance, Geraldton, even Kwinana is an option for export markets as well.
So there's lots of different ways that you can, so infrastructure is all around. That means that you're not in the middle of nowhere. You don't have to build pipelines. You don't need to build power lines, any of that. That's all there, close.
Well, yeah, close by. So Gruyere is our nearest neighbour, and there's, you know, an airstrip there. We've got Laverton, which is really used to supporting mining all around Laverton. So there's a commercial airport there. So we're pretty well endowed for that infrastructure to be able to get to the project, but also get the product to market.
Karen, what I want to know, like, there's a lot of investors listening to this. I'm an investor, so I'm going to start asking a couple of investor questions. Right now, the Trig Mining market cap's about 10 million. It's pretty, pretty tight, pretty small in comparison to some of your peers. Now, I'm not going to make any names, but, you know, some of your peers are like a 300 mil market cap, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think, and, you know, I just have to ask you, do you think, you're going to probably say to me, yes, we are. You're undervalued by the looks of it. Yep. Why do you think that is? And do you think that now that you've got this, I think it's a very, very strong maiden resource, do you think that's going to change things and people are looking at this and saying, okay, this is a real project with a real future with grade and scale? And do you think that there's going to be a bit of a re-rating for Trig?
I would have to expect so, Kerry. As you say, I'm a mining engineer and I can see the potential here that I will be building a mine. We do need to go through all of that process that you mentioned. I'm very, very particular about being thorough as we go, but really, it really does shape up to me that we've got a project here. And in doing that, we're already investing in that project timeline. An important part of that is the environmental approval process. Wow. And because we have been seeing the grade for quite some time now, so we were putting holes into the superficial aquifer with a rotary drill rig back in July last year. And we've been building up the case with more and more data to get a really quality inferred resource for this announcement. But we've been doing out there, still busy. It doesn't get the headlines, but it's a really important part of the process is doing the baseline environmental surveys. So we just did the autumn surveys out there across all of the lake, getting information on anything that like the flora and fauna, and doing all of the work so that we can take this to the departments to take it through the approval process as well.
And what does that look like? I mean, are there any issues with that? Is that a long process that you have to go through, or because this is such a salty, briny area, I wouldn't imagine much would grow out there, to be frank.
Things still do grow, and there is wildlife. We've not, at this stage, we don't believe we've seen anything of real significance, but it's all important about getting out there and really having a look at it and doing it across both autumn and spring. So there's a whole year, really, of establishing the baseline environmental data, and that's what we've been working on quite quietly in the background.
Have you had to expand the team because this project is getting bigger?
We don't have to expand the team, but it's pretty important to do so. I can't do everything myself.
Oh, come on, Karen.
I really do want to build this and do this well. So we have been looking for some really important people to do it. And some people have been on the journey for quite a while. So our principal hydrogeologist is really critical to what we're doing. And Adam has been working across many of the Salt Lake projects in Western Australia. He's very, very knowledgeable, and he's been our principal hydrogeologist now for a number of years.
That's Adam Lloyd?
Yes, that is Adam Lloyd.
Right. So he understands this whole sector, and he's worked on other projects, and he's now working with you on this one.
Yes. And with that, we've got a study manager, Chris Williams. He's been in the industry for a number of decades, really thorough, and working on doing those environmental surveys and the initial evaporation trial that we have underway. And then we've just had John Sigenek join us from UCLAS, his new business. John was the person behind all of the financing for Callium Lakes. So he took Callium Lakes from pre-IPO all the way through to through project financing, and now he's just as excited as us about what we have there at Throssell, and he's joined our team to take us on that journey as well and support us on the financing side.
Well, that's got to be a big tick of, you know, this is a real project if John's come from Callium Lakes and said, you know what, I like the look of Lake Throssell. But you've got some other projects I want to talk about as well. But let's talk news flow. Let's talk, because again, for investors out there, right now, you know, you've been doing the work quietly behind the scenes. It's been a little bit quiet, but now we've got this announcement today, and there's a lot of more news flow to come. Can you just let our investors that are listening know what's coming next?
So now that we have the inferred resource, which is quite robust, we've got some 5,000 metres of drilling, we've done over 200 kilometres of gravity surveys and particle size distribution, even core samples from the superficial sediment when we did the rotary program. So we've got a lot of data. The next step to start taking that inferred resource to indicate it is just some field pump trials. The first step of that is to do a trenching program. So we've got a digger heading out there shortly to amphibious digger. So it's all quite interesting equipment as well. Even for a mining engineer, we're looking at different diggers. Digging some trenches and test pits so that we can pump that for a few weeks and really determine the productiveness of those of the aquifer. And then we will have information on our process flow sheet around the evaporation trial that we're doing, and all of that will then take us through to doing an economic scoping study.
When do you expect that economic scoping study to be done? And I'm not going to hold you to a tight time frame, but just an indication, do you think?
Yeah, I will have that done by the end of the year. Yeah.
Right. And what are the next steps after that? I know I'm pushing you, but, you know, what are the next steps after that?
Next steps is to test the basal aquifer. So that would need water well rigs. We need to get some infrastructure out there to be able to get the rigs out onto the lake. And then we can drill those bores, start testing the basal aquifer and to do some more evaporation trials. So we've done the first phase and we need to scale it up and keep going and making sure that we're going to build the right process and the right process plant.
Karen, is it complex to get out on the lake and to pump this and to I guess get it evaporated and get the sulfate of the end product? What sort of timeline are we looking at? We're looking at 10 years from now we'll have product, or is it a quicker process than that? I mean, can you just explain? I'd like to know from an investor point of view when revenue might start to be coming in and what you're looking at with that.
I'm watching the peers very closely as to their timeline and what's working and what's not working there. And you know, that's part of this new industry is that we're all learning and we can all learn from each other as we go. Yeah. What I'm seeing is probably a 3 to 5 year timetable for a decision to mine and then really, really ramping it up into construction phase from that point.
Have you had companies out there talking to you already because this is such a scale and such high grade?
Yeah, that really has surprised me. And even with the peers watching them earlier in the story when they were doing scoping studies, there was memorandums of understanding with many fertiliser companies. And we've had the phone ring as well when it comes to just making sure that they're in touch with what's happening in the market and where are they going to source their product from, because there's not many of these projects available because you need the right geology and the right weather conditions over a really long period of time to create these deposits.
What is the supply demand at the moment? Is Australia one of those places? Because we are in a very good geopolitical, I mean, we all know that we're in the COVID times at the moment. So are there other areas globally that are a little bit more tricky given what's going on in the world, this sort of new world that we live in? Is Australia looking at being the place of main supply going forward?
I think it's important for Australia to become more self-sufficient in our primary industry needs. So we need potassium fertiliser for agricultural output. And right now we import all of our potassium fertilisers, sulphate of potash being the niche high value potassium fertiliser, and even muriate, which is a bulk commodity market, but it has 50% of it is chloride, which is detrimental to soils and many crops. It just can't tolerate muriate. So we really are relying on that global supply chain still continuing throughout all of these shocks. But if we could provide it domestically, then we would be much more robust, both from a mining perspective, from a production perspective for our company, but also for, you know, all of Australia's sustainable agriculture.
All right, well, we're going to finish up on this one, Karen. I'm going to throw this out to you. Lots of investors listening at the moment. Trigg Mining, ASX code is TMG. Let's just give us 3 to 4 points on why you think right now investors should put some of their hard-earned cash into Trigg Mining.
We are really undervalued at this point because we have just announced our maiden inferred resource at Lake Throssell at 14.2 million tonnes, and it takes our total inventory to 20 million tonnes. So we're on the map. We are front and centre now in the sulphate of potash industry. We are going to go about it the right way, make sure that we learn the lessons from all the people that have gone before us so that we can make sure that we build a really robust project. And I'm building a team of really passionate people that are really excited about being a part of this story and looking at building a mine we're all going to be really proud of.
Building mines that she can be proud of. And as you said before, hashtag, what was the hashtag again?
Mining for farmers.
Mining for farmers, ladies and gentlemen, that's ASX Trigg Mining. ASX code is TMG. Karen, we're going to look forward to a lot more news flow in the future. Thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Great. Thanks for your time, Carrie.